back to another episode of High Time for True Crime. I'm Catherine.
And I am Khadija.
And today we're going to be discussing season two of Smothered, episodes 7 and 8.
We are closing in.
It's on getting the there.
I am tired of all of these women.
But you guys are loving this, so we're going to keep cranking them out until the freaking season is done. And
if there's a season three, bet your ass we're going to do it.
I think there's going to be a season three.
Probably. It's probably mostly them in quarantine. We're going to be, a lot of shows aren't going to be filming properly. I'm sure they're still going to try to get their coin.
Wear a mask so my industry comes back, please.
Honestly.
Or donate to our Patreon or whatever.
Just donate to us directly. Please. We also will take Uber Eats deliveries.
Anytime. Every time. To our house. We have to both be together.
Yes.
Don't let her swindle you out of food without me there. That's my condition. But anyways, Smothered. So we open up episode 7. And
well,
yeah.
Is it episode 7 or episode 8?
Okay, yeah, Soon-hee and Angelica actually are in episode 7.
Yes, they aren't. So we're going to just get them over with because it's a very small segment. Not that it's unimportant.
Yeah, Soon-hee and Angelica, not in episode 7. Neither are Elena and Marsha. But Soon-hee and Angelica in episode 8.
Yes. So what happens is Soon-hee has found a lump on her breast.
No. Brett found it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Go, Brett. You know,
Brett got a little boop feel. That's as much as we know.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's pretty much telling Angelica about it. And it's a very, like, the whole entire vibe is very, very, like, somber.
Yeah. Soon-hee's, like, not wearing makeup. She looks very upset.
Yeah. She looks very worried. Angelica is just kind of, you know, worried for her mom.
But she's also kind of like, you know, we're not going to freak out until we know. So Soon-hee has to get a biopsy.
Of course.
Obviously, it's scary, but we learned that two years ago, she had originally learned about it, and she was told to get it assessed if it changed, and apparently Brett was the one that noticed that it was kind of bigger.
Yeah.
And so then she whips her tit out and has Angelica touch it.
And mind you, there's, like, probably 5 other people in this room.
Yeah.
Just looking. But it's very emotional. I was just like, okay, there's not really any jokes here to be made.
Yeah. But I did say, if you're so worried about the C word, maybe you shouldn't be such a C word. I mean, it's bad. I'm not going to edit it out. It's true because, honestly, if you're worried about having cancer, you probably need to be making sure that you are doing things in your life that aren't regrettable. And acting the way you act in
is questionable. Very regrettable.
But I digress.
This bitch is wearing all white. Like, she is literally about to go get baptized or something. And, like, I mean, full white outfit.
Yeah.
And the music is just, like, super sad.
It's sentimental and weird. Yeah.
They go to the doctor's office and, you know,
that's really where we're left in episode 8. Yeah. We don't get any answers. So we'll see more of them in episode 9. Episode 10 hasn't aired yet. So
also,
who even knows?
What the fuck is up with Angelica's hair? In this episode, it looks so bad. It looks awful. I don't know if she teases it at the root or if she's wearing a wig. Or if it's a weave or something. I don't know what it is, but it looks
They just bad. Need to help her. Somebody just needs
Somebody
to help her.
Adjust it. And I don't know. It's always, like, constantly, like,
it just looks like it constantly got straightened and then she ran. It got caught in a storm.
Or, it's just like, is it windy in Las Vegas? I mean, well, they have winds. They have, wind turbines.
Yeah, it's windy out there.
But still, I'm just like, I don't understand what's wrong with your hair. Because every episode, it looks, no, this episode just
raggedy.
Looked really bad. Like, it looked like she was wearing a helmet. Anyways, hopefully Soon-hee does not have cancer.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, she doesn't have cancer.
She doesn't. And she kind of looks sad when they tell her that she doesn't have anything to use as leverage. But I didn't
you
say that.
You know she was going to use it as leverage.
Oh, she milks everything.
Anyways.
So basically then we see...
We are thankful that she doesn't have cancer.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
We're not joking about cancer. Cancer is very serious.
What's your prediction?
Oh, well, you spoiler alerted it. But my prediction was that she didn't have cancer. And then I think that the scare is going to maybe make... It's either going to do two things. One of two things to Soon-hee. Yeah. It's either going to make her kind of care less and realize that, like, she's not going to be around forever and that Jason is doing what... He needs to do to be able to take good care of Angelica.
Yeah.
Or she's going to double down and continue to be a fucking...
C-word?
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with the second option. Yeah. I think that she's going to be like, oh my God, I have to spend even more time with Angelica. Yeah. We need to come up with my will. Like, we need to do all this. I feel like she's going to make Angelica, like, go to, like, one of those, like, fake casket things where, like, they make you, like... look at you, like, what's it called? Beyond Scared Straight. They make you, like, look at yourself, like, in a casket or something, and, like, Angelica's gonna be like, I can't leave my mom. Jason, she needs me the most.
Yeah.
I need to help her. Or, I don't know, like, I don't think she will actually progress and, like, move on and be like, Angelica should live her life for herself, and I should live my life, because Angelica is my life. Oh, she's my God. The love of my life. If Angelica had love a penis, of I would take her, life. And I would marry her. And she would be my husband.
Literally. I hate them. Actually, I just looked, and Elena and Marsha aren't in episode 7 or 8, so...
Oh, yeah, they aren't. But they do have a lot going on in episode 9, I'm assuming 10.
Yeah. So, I don't know about 10 so much, but in 9, we do see that they got some...
They are kind of boring. They don't really have much going on.
They don't really have much going on because they don't really do much.
Not really. And I'm like, so can we meet Elena's friends? Does she actually have friends, though? That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I kind of would like to see what she's like at college, or like what her day-to-day college is like. Independently from her mom. Yeah.
We don't get to see, well, we honestly don't get to see anyone independently from their parent. I mean, we get to see Jason and Angelica barely.
For like a second, but they're always talking about her anyways.
Yeah. Everyone else, most of them don't really have airtime without their mom.
No.
But I mean, that's also the premise of the show.
Right. I mean...
But I would definitely like to see her in a college setting. Who are the next? Who do you want to talk about?
On my list is Dawn and Cher. And I would say theirs is like the most dramatic this week. Because
it's pretty funny.
We open and Cher and Jared are laying down with the baby. They're all about to take a little cute nap. Baby Belle May.
It's so
such a unique name.
It's such a unique name.
But anyways. The baby's, like, literally asleep when Dawn swoops in and snatches that baby up and is just like, I'm going to take her to another room and I'm going to change her diaper and I'm going to, this is my baby. Yeah. I'm going to latch her to my breast myself. I learned how to do it earlier all over again. Here we go.
I'm a baby.
You've seen Meet the Fockers?
Yes.
Jack had a fake boob. I honestly, it literally happened like 3 seconds after they were like, we're going to take a nap. Like, Cher just closed her eyes and Jared just adjusted himself.
And the baby was already asleep. You do not fuck with a sleeping baby. No. Don't touch it. Don't breathe around it. Don't move it.
No. And Jared, so then after they take the baby, like, Cher's like laughing and Jared's like, what the fuck?
Jared's like, listen, she needs to go. Yeah. Like, I only have so much paternity time left and she's we literally haven't been able to enjoy a family. We can't even enjoy a nap as a family.
I can't even share with you, Cher, or share with Belle, Cher.
And he's like, listen, mom. Today needs to be the freaking day. Like, you have to break it to her. You've hinted, now you have to make clear it she's got to go.
Yeah.
But that's really all that happens in episode 7.
Yeah, and I mean, Jared just wants to be a parent on his own without her hovering over them constantly. And he knows that, like,
and, like, he's
going
to have to go back to work soon.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm on fucking paternity leave.
It's a two-bedroom apartment.
Let me enjoy this time with my woman and my baby.
Yes.
Without you sticking your nose in it. I don't need you to be here until, like, I go back to work. Then we need you to, like,
and then they probably won't even really need her, but that's a different story.
I mean, they probably will just, like, bounce out their schedule. They're both going to have to be working during the daytime.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Because, I mean,
they both do have their
Botox
careers,
in the middle of the night, except for people that have monies, actually.
You're right. They probably do.
They do have, like, private jets. They'll fly you out to Europe to give you a few in the face. Shoot, not that I need any. Not that you need any.
So then we're in episode 8, and Cher is trying to rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
But Dawn is not having it.
No. They are kind of just like, we would like to spend time by ourselves with the baby.
We It'd really appreciate
if you just
everything.
Get the fuck out of the house.
Yeah, they're trying so hard.
You know Jared always has a shit-eating grin on his face whenever Cher has to be mean to her mom.
Yes. Like, okay, Cher was napping. Dawn took the baby. Yeah. Dawn changed the baby to where her outfit and the baby's outfit were matching.
Yeah.
It's cute. They're having a little moment.
Yeah. And they enjoyed it. She's wearing a tutu.
Yeah. And she's just not letting them let her down gently. No. Like, at all. She's devastated. She's legitimately not listening. They're telling her to go home and that Mason is leaving that night. So it's, like, time for them to go ahead and get a buddy pass, whatever they need to do.
Yeah, it's time to leave.
Yeah, she's making it so fucking difficult. She's taking it so personally. Yeah. And she's
like, I knew this was going to happen. I knew that Cher wasn't going to want to share her time with
changed.
Me. Yeah, everything's changed, and I just don't know where I fit in.
But then the Uber's there, and skedaddles. Like,
she doesn't even want to say bye. She
doesn't
want to
like hold the baby.
She's
devastated.
She is.
She's like, I thought I was helping. Like, she's being very passive aggressive.
Yeah, because Mason ended up coming up there. Poor Mason literally just got in, and it's just like, and she's like, I want to go home right now. I'm not welcome to you.
And she's like, do you think I'm being too much? And like, his face is like, bitch, yes. Yeah. But he's like, no.
He's like, well, he said he's very sweet about it. He's like, I would like to spend time with you.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, at least that's someone that wants to spend time with me.
I thought I was helping.
No. And I'm like, she was helping, but at the same time, like, she was
being
very
invasive.
She was hurting
in the same capacity. She just was doing too much.
And I'm just like, I'm assuming that she was like this when they first moved to New York. Because, I mean, the beginning of the season, it didn't really seem like it was much of a problem. But, I mean, they also had just come down to Florida.
Yeah.
But I also just can consistently keep thinking about, what about Jared's parents? Like, when do they ever get to spend time with the baby without the Mimi being around?
Yes.
Like, ever? Do they ever beg for time? Like,
no, I doubt it. But...
But anyways, Dom becomes just extremely annoying to me. What's your prediction for this?
I have a feeling that Dom will be back within a week or two, but that Jared and Cher will probably have figured out things on their own to a point where Cher doesn't really feel like she needs her on there. I don't know. I just hope that for Jared and Cher's sake that it doesn't continue to come between them. No.
My prediction is that they won't be in next episode. I'm joking. They might not be that much involved in episode 9, but I think that Dawn will probably stay down there. I feel like she's going to be a little resentful.
Yeah.
Not going to lie. I think she's going to be like, oh, so now you want me to be a triplet with you?
Yeah, actually, it's funny that you said
that
because
they're
not.
Just be triplets.
They're not
with
in
Jared.
Episode 9 because I already watched episode 10. Hasn't aired yet. I don't know, so we'll have to wait to see.
So maybe she does stay in her place, but
maybe
I think
at least
that,
for a week.
Yeah, I think that it's going to go either one of two ways with Jared and Cher. I think they're going to be way over their heads. They're actually going to realize they kind of do need a little bit of help and work with her, or things are just going to go really well, and then, like, whenever they need to go back to work, they're just going to, like, be like, hey, can you come back?
So then we cut to Christina and Kathy. They're planning out the remodel.
Yes. Of the kitchen.
They both like the same shit.
Black and white.
Apparently Carlo picked out what they did during the last remodel, maybe, like, 10 years ago.
And, I mean, that's why I was like, their kitchen looks nice.
Yeah,
that's the only part that we've seen at their house, but their house is also kind of small.
But Kathy describes Carlo's taste as meathead modern.
Which, I mean, it kind of describes Carlo, but at the same time, who's paying for this? Carlo.
Yeah.
Who has to live in this house? Carlo.
Literally, my note says that Carlo is not having this HGTV come to Jesus meeting in his kitchen. He is like, put the towels away, put the samples down.
This is not what I want. Like, you didn't even consult me. He is just like, next time when you guys go like look for cabinets and shit, I'm coming with you.
Yeah.
And Kathy's like, why do you need to come with us? This doesn't even concern you and all this other stuff. I'm like, Kathy, whose fucking house is this?
He's paying for it.
And then fucking Christina's just like, Carlo works 7 days a week, and all he needs to do is just pay for it. It's not even his business, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, girl? I was like, you about to be without if you don't stop.
Then in episode 8, they decide their trifling asses are going to go get some bikini waxes together, and Kathy's never had one before.
Well,
I don't know
Kathy
why she
says,
needs one.
They're quote-unquote patches wax. Yikes.
They want to get it done in the same damn room.
Yeah.
Kathy's panties match her shirt, and I cannot deal
with it.
Are
you sure, like, they wore those? I wasn't wondering, did they wear those panties, or, like, were they provided? I've never gotten a wax before. I feel like
me either, but no, those were the panties that she wore.
Because they look, I mean, they look the same, but I wouldn't be surprised if they got matching undies.
You know they were matching
undies. You know, Kathy's like, I got these for you. They were on sale, and I got a pair for myself.
Yes.
But, yeah, they go get their vaginas waxed.
And they
together.
Start talking about Carly. Christina is cursing like crazy when they start waxing her.
Oh, yeah. They both did not handle it well. Not that I'm saying that I probably would handle someone ripping my follicles out in that area.
Specifically that area.
Yeah, but they're, like, bitching about Carly, and they're just, like...
They think she's annoyed right now because she doesn't have a boyfriend, but little do they know she's annoyed because she's trying to hide her boyfriend from these trifling asses. Which,
if I was Carly, I would do the same thing.
But yeah, that's really all we see from them in these two episodes. Yeah. They don't seem to do much. Like, they're either running to Sonic or running to get their patch as well.
Running a Sonic commercial.
And getting on everybody's nerves.
And honestly, like, okay, this episode really did piss me off because, like, they literally invalidate everyone's feelings.
Yeah.
Every single time. And
they steamroll over everybody.
It really annoys. Well, it's just Kathy because Kathy's the only one that's steamrolling because Christina's just like, well, you want me to stop her? She's my mom. I can't do anything about her. Like, and I'm just like, no. Also, especially when it comes to your relationship, you need to put your foot down. Carlo puts his foot down too, but if you don't want them fighting, and also it doesn't really matter if they fight because she's going to take her mom's side. Anyways. And I'm just, I don't understand how any of these bitches are in relationships.
No.
I really don't understand it. And I mean, it's a big...
Okay, speaking of relationships, we'll caveat us into our next daughter duo because...
I can't deal. Hold on.
But I know.
What is... My prediction is just that they're going to try to plan this whole entire fucking house without Carlo, and he's going to be bankrolling it. He's just probably going to shut that shit down. I feel like Carlo might just like...
I think he might nut up.
I think he might talk to the contractor or something and be like, do this.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might make it to where he's going to just go ahead and pay for something to get done without their input.
Yeah.
And that's what I would do. I mean, honestly, had they had an opportunity for him to have any input, I think that would have been helpful, but they didn't. So I hope that he takes his money and he gets the most Guido ass, the biggest stainless steel appliances, red tiles everywhere, the shit that they didn't want. And I hope that he spends a lot of money on it so they have to keep it for a long time. Or if they don't like it, then they have to move to be not five houses down from Kathy.
Honestly, I really hope that that Carlo actually just lets him, like, lets them do whatever they want. Because that'll give them something. As long as they're planning.
As long as they're doing something.
And plotting, then they're not messing with
other
people.
They do have, like, kind of decent taste. I don't think it's going to look like shit. Like, I think it'll look classy.
Yeah, but Carlo's like, this isn't my taste. If I'm paying for it, I want it to at least resemble something that I like.
Yeah. I think there's definitely middle ground that they can all find.
There is no middle ground because they literally are going to invalidate anything that anyone has to say. They're like Donald Trump. Anything you have to say is a hoax or is stupid.
Or it's an invisible China virus.
Oh my god. Okay.
Anyways. Segwaying. So speaking of relationships, here we go. Brittany has a date?
With a guy named Lewis.
Who apparently was one of the kids that was awkwardly at her party and sitting there when she was like, my crush hurt my feelings. Thank you for being here. And so he still agreed to take her out. Like, but they're kind of cute together. They're both awkward as hell, so it works, kind of. So before Brittany leaves for the date, she's talking to Mary, and...
She's wearing this awful-ass headband scarf thing on her head, and it just makes her head look so fucking awkward. But
she definitely looks like she's dressed to go to a funeral, and not a date.
Well, wait until... When she gets her tummy... Oh, wait. Just wait until she is snatched. Lord. Just wait.
Mary is being crazy. She's immediately trying to marry her ass off.
Wedding, she babies, everything.
Is asking them to take a selfie on the date and send it to her.
She keeps obsessing over this poor boy's dimples. It just becomes really weird and really creepy.
But also, before she goes on the date, Brittany reveals that she's been keeping a secret from her mom, which we don't learn about till later. But
And I'm like, are you going to tell us that you're not a virgin?
Yeah.
Or what? Like, what's
going on?
And I was
just... So... Yeah. We see the date. I'm just like, Brittany, stop talking. Lewis keeps saying things like, she's a nice person about everyone. I don't know if he's just being nice or if he can't create
I think he's just a nice
thought.
Kid.
Yeah.
They're also like,
they're
kids.
Young. Yeah, they're young.
Brittany just looks like she's 25.
They're also like two little old people at the same time. Because they're like both just like awkward.
But
they're
talking about her surgery.
He's nice. It just was awkward because like,
and they're both, like, two innocent people. It's, like, two Mormon teenagers talking to each other.
It's, like, it's both their first dates or something.
Yeah.
And they start talking about her upcoming surgery, which is kind of a weird conversation topic. But he was there for that announcement, and he still agreed to take her out. So, yeah. You know, he must be genuine.
And he was just like, I don't really think that you should get a tummy tuck. I think you're beautiful the way that you are. And I'm like,
and she's like, no one's ever called me beautiful but my mom. And I'm like, you
not even Frank.
Girl. Not even Frank.
Well, it doesn't matter what Frank has to say anyways.
Fuck no. If Frank called her beautiful, she'd probably throat punch him.
Honestly, I don't think you're wrong, because when she was sitting that close to him last episode, I was scared for him. I was about to dial 911 myself. But, yeah, they talk about, you know, the surgery, and, you know, he was I'll even drive you to the hospital if you need a ride.
I'll get you groceries. Yeah.
I was like, oh, he's a little gentleman.
Then they weirdly, without any prompting, Brittany's like, let's take a selfie, and she sent it to Mary, and Mary immediately
responds with
her.
A FaceTime, and I'm like,
Brittany ends up giving Louis the phone, and it's just awkward.
It's just really fucking weird. He's like, I think that Brittany's...
They're too close.
Yeah, the relationship with her mom is just, like, really kind of, really weird. So then Brittany goes home, and she's just like, you know, like,
and
her mom
Mary
is asking her.
Immediately, like, with bated breath, like, are you guys going to get married? Yeah. How don't you think he's the
How
one?
Was
you
the don't... date? And I'm like, Mary, you were damn near on the fucking date. What do you mean?
You were there for, like, a third of it.
Yeah, and I mean, she tells her mom, like, he called me beautiful, and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I knew he was the one. I knew it. I knew it.
Record scratch noise. Like,
Brittany. She's about to drop a bomb.
She's like, by the way, mom, I'm bisexual. And Mary seems confused as hell.
Her face,
like,
or that's just her face.
She doesn't seem, like, upset. She just seems, like, totally floored.
She seems upset that Brittany hasn't told her.
Yeah, she doesn't seem upset by the revelation.
No.
Just by the fact that she didn't know.
And I have a lot to say about this, okay? First of all, why? Why in the world was Frank condemned to hell? Condemned, like, just, like,
for literally
thrown, like, a whole fucking rainforest at this man of shade for the past 6, 7, 8 episodes for masturbating.
With his hand.
With his hand. Didn't
not a vibrator.
Cheat. Didn't cheat. Mm-hmm. Did not, I mean, well, would she be upset if he used a fucking fleshlight?
Probably.
Well, I think, was she mad about the masturbation, or was she was mostly mad about the porn. But I don't know. It feels like she's just mad
about
the whole
thing. She's just mad in general.
Like,
had he come home and gone to sleep, he still would have been in trouble.
He could have. He didn't even have to tell her. Mm-mm. He didn't have to say shit. And anyways, I'm just like, how is it that Frank is in trouble for watching porn, but you're bisexual? It's like, you guys are super Christian. I'm pretty sure they see both of them in the same fucking category.
Yeah. They seem like, it's just like, how can you differentiate? If you believe in sin and all that kind of good whatever stuff that people that are
bisexual
believe,
is like literally like the top of the list of you are a fucking heathen and you're going to hell.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just don't know where they
not that
off.
We agree with that.
Yeah,
but
no,
like
no, not
a
at
lot
all.
Of people that are super, super, super
religious
Christian,
in general,
super
they
religious.
Just, yeah.
I'm not saying that all Christians are all
it just
religions,
seems like
but
we would be seeing if we're seeing this kind of complaint from them that their lives would be a little bit more aligned with their ideologies. But whatever.
And I'm just like super confused. But anyways, Mary. But
so is Mary.
Mary's like.
But also, she reveals that she has friends who've, like, disowned their kids for being queer, and I was like, I really hope they're not your friend
sickening.
Anymore.
Yeah, I
was
like, this
disgusting.
Is disgusting. I honestly, and Mary says some fucked up shit, okay? Mary
so does
just
Brittany,
like,
though.
Mary's just like, how would you know that you're bisexual?
You're
never
a virgin.
Had, you're a virgin, you never had sex. You would have to have sex with a girl and a guy in order to know, you know, that you're bisexual. I was like, Mary, what kind of archaic backwood bullshit is this?
Also, Mary, have you had sex with men and women and made your decision? I'm kind of curious, huh? Question mark. Put a pin in that.
I was like, this is so dumb.
But also, Brittany makes it hella awkward for me when she explains that she wants a woman like Mary,
Mary.
To love. A woman that takes care of herself. I was like,
literally
this is so
wrote
off-putting.
In my notes that they're each other's beards.
Yes. It's just so much.
No, they're not each other's beards. They're each other's beards, but also each other's lovers.
Yeah. They're just like, it's even worse than Soonhee and Angelica, almost.
It
about
is.
The whole obsessiveness, nobody can have you shit.
Yeah, and it was just like super, like, I mean, the conversation went pretty well. Like, Mary was just like, I'm not upset, I'm just upset that you didn't tell me. And she's known since she was, like, little.
Yeah.
Apparently, Britney's first kiss was a girl, and I was
her
like,
her first
oh.
love and everything.
Yeah, yeah, she said her first love, and I was like, yo, when I was 19, I had my first love.
Oh my god.
Those probably aren't the lyrics, but you get the gist.
But basically, that's it for episode 7, because when we open in episode 8, Mary's still reeling about, like, what's Frank going to think? And I'm like,
does Frank even give a shit? Frank also, probably doesn't want to know.
Also, is Frank gay?
I feel like gay is, I feel like he's gay. Oh my god. I feel like, I feel like Frank is probably metrosexual.
I feel like Mary is Frank's beard. I don't know. I don't care. It's not like, I don't care either
But he
way.
Also
I
looks just, like a poppy though. Like he would definitely like.
I think Frank is a well groomed
I'm sure
man.
He can move his hips. I'm sure they'd be, you know, in the I'm sure him and Mary be in the fucking clubs. Just like dirty dancing, breaking it down.
I bet. But Mary's worried about that. She's also worried about if Frank is going to take care of them or not after they've
plastic surgery.
Both are going to have plastic surgery.
Mary just on a whim. Okay, well, first of all, they open up like on the dock, like drinking coffee. And I was like, this is actually pretty like
tranquil.
Relaxing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I actually like them in this moment. And in this like, this
Brittany
vibe.
Actually seems very excited about going to get the surgery done. Like, it's she's very chatty. She's a lot more candid than
she's
been.
She's smiling so much more.
Yeah.
And I mean, I honestly am happy for her to get the surgery. She has excess skin. It's not something that
she
can
does.
Get rid of naturally.
She was, you know, she got everything taken care of. She lost 85 pounds. Yeah. But side note, Mary also wants to get her tits redone for the 5th or the 6th time.
And then, okay.
Also, their eyeliner was killing me on the dog.
Their eyeliner is always awful. Their eyeliner is done the
but
same.
But specifically on the dock, fresh morning, sunrise lighting.
It was bad.
It was horrible.
It was all bad. And then Mary, like, they're sitting on an interview, and Mary's just like, I want bigger boobs. And then the producers, like, mentioned something about her plastic surgeries.
Yes,
and she's like,
shade.
I haven't had that much plastic surgery. I've just
That's
had
what
my,
I say.
Like,
Mary tries to
done.
Act like she hasn't had a shit ton of done stuff
She's like,
done.
I have a nice body. She's like, but, you know, I have gotten my boobs done multiple
your
times.
Your eyelids, upper and lower. Girl, you have
you got a whole fucking body
injected
lift.
In your face. Come on now. I mean, whatever. Do what you do.
Yeah.
But don't act like you haven't had a shit ton of work done. Because
girl, ain't no shade. It's all tea.
5 or 6 boob jobs. That's a lot, girl.
Yeah. So,
but anyways.
She's just like, I want to get surgery with you on the same day.
But let's not tell Frank about it. Basically.
And I'm like,
because he has
no
idea. So
who the fuck is going to be changing your leaky asses?
Oh my god, ew, later in the next episode after the surgery.
I'm sure it's super gross.
It's nasty.
But they go to the plastic surgeon, they go for their consultation, and
oh my god, in my notes it says, just because we've been talking about John Bobbitt, all I can think about when he mentions how many like incisions Mary has when she's at the consultation is Franken tits, because of Franken penis. I'm sorry. I know. It just was John Bobbitt. Well, he's like, there's an incision. She has like, she's gotten so many different boob jobs done.
Yeah.
Whereas she had the one where they go around your areola. Then she had an incision underneath
that
her
That one makes
breast.
Me uncomfortable because you have
and
to see
then,
them stuff that bitch into that tiny hole. And I'm like, my nipples immediately feel like they're on fire whenever I see shit
it's
like that.
It's terrifying. But she has like all the different kinds of incisions that she can have.
Yeah.
She has like literally one under, one around the areola, and one down
she's
the breast. She's...
Oh, yeah, I forgot they do to the ex.
Yeah, so she literally has, like, Franken tits. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And she wants them to be fuller, and I'm like, but how many boob jobs do you have? I mean, her boobs aren't, like, huge.
They're not bad.
Though.
Like,
they look good for her, like, her frame and everything.
Yeah, they look fine. They look proportional.
But she wants, like, them bows.
Yes, she does.
And I'm like, I don't know. You might be a little bit front heavy at
yes.
that point. But,
no matter what they get done, though, they're looking at a couple of weeks of recovery.
Yes. A couple, that's what he said?
Yeah.
I missed that part.
It was like 1 to 2 weeks before they could do shit, and then it was like 6 weeks for a full recovery.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And how this bitch just got accepted into the police academy.
Right.
How is she supposed to work? Well, I guess you have to go find, I guess after
I think
you
have to apply.
I don't know how it works.
I don't know. I would.
I feel like you have to apply to, I guess like everyone goes to police academy and then they like say, okay, you can go apply to like different precincts or whatever. I don't fucking know.
I don't know. But basically.
Yeah.
The consultation goes kind of weird. Mary asks Brittany to come stand beside the doctor.
And she's standing like 3 feet away from her. I'm like, she might as well go sit the fuck down.
When she goes to sit the fuck down, though, she asks Mary if she can sit in her lap. And the doctor is like, what's
this is
even
really fucking
going
weird.
On?
He's like, they also kept holding hands.
Yes.
I don't know what's happening. He was like,
this is
she's
strange.
Like, mom's.
He's
like,
but
mom
I'm
and
raking in the cash.
Yeah. He's like, mom and daughters have come in like around the same time, but he was just like, I don't know who's going to take care of them. Oh, well, we fast forward to the restaurant where they're about to eat with Frank, and they're just like, so you're going to.
But Brittany, in this moment, she's very excited.
Yes.
It's like the most we've ever seen her talk.
She's on cloud nine. She's actually nice
but
to Frank.
She's also talking about her sexuality to Frank, which is weird as hell to me because she normally doesn't even. Like, how are you going to be mad that Frank jerked his dick off like a decade ago and now
you're
sitting talking about talking about your sexuality. Yes, I can't.
And Frank is probably just sitting there just like, oh my you're God. Fucking kidding me right now. Yeah. And then Mary, okay, so when she's like nice to Frank, so the reason why she's nice to Frank is because Frank is just like, how are we going to pay for this? Or no, he mentions, he's like, I'll take care of you guys. No problem. I have nothing else to do. Also, you know, I'll make sure the money is right. And Mary literally just like goes off and is just like, what do you mean make sure the money is right? I'm paying for it. It's my daughter. Why are you having any concern?
Yeah.
And and Brittany's just like, well, I mean, Frank does have to take days off. Yeah,
Brittany stands up for Frank. Yeah. That's crazy.
And then Mary, I thought she was going to get mad at Brittany, but of course she could never get mad at her love.
No.
She's just like, are you being nice to Frank? Are you agreeing with Frank? Is this progress? And Brittany's like, we'll talk about it later. And that cracked me the fuck up.
Also, when he was told Brittany basically that he was hoping that she didn't get as much shit done as Mary has, like, he was shading Mary. He was like, well, you're really young. I hope that you don't.
Honestly,
like,
they're the shady bunch.
Mary looks like Garfield, especially in the next episode when she gets the work done. I'm sorry.
Fucking Garfield.
She's orange like Garfield. She has cat eyes like Garfield. She has Garfield cheeks.
Yeah.
Mary looks like Garfield. I'm sorry.
But at the end of this, like, Frank feels that Mary's not going to, like, let it go about, like, the whole money situation. Because he's like, I don't really care. He's like, I was just saying. Because obviously you're going to do whatever the fuck you want. But, like, I would wish that you would consult me on some big purchases, considering we kind of, you know, share money.
Yeah. And we run a business together. Yeah,
together. And she's just like, it's my daughter. I'm going to do whatever I want, like, for her. I'm going to give her this as a present. Like, and you can't stop me. And he's like, I'm not trying to stop you. I literally just said, I will nurse
both of you bitches back to health. Yeah, let's think about me, though. Like, let's think about the bigger picture here.
Yeah, how are we going to afford this shit? And also keep the lights on.
Yeah. And also, make sure that your tits don't just fall off your body, Mary, because, but my prediction is that the surgery is going to, like, just go fine and everything, and that, but just that Frank is going to be pushed to
I think Frank's going to be pushed to the limit, for sure. I don't know, I think him and Brittany are going to get better, honestly.
Yeah, I actually, like, the last couple episodes, they have had a noticeable progression of being not only decent to each other, but, like, she literally stood up for him.
But Frank never really does anything to her.
No.
He just, like, voices, but he, like, he'll voice his opinion in a very soft, like, docile way, like Jason.
Yeah.
And then just be like, you know, like, I don't agree with that, but who am I to say, you know, whatever. But at the same time, like, he gets treated like shit. They rag on him constantly. And I'm happy that Brittany's actually standing up for him. Because Mary, I think Mary hates Frank, honestly.
She does.
Maybe they are, maybe he is losing her as the beard. And, like, he really just
hates her. That's truly my belief. The paisley shirts, the Botox, the fact that he's a tailor. Botox, I mean, whatever.
I wonder if he makes his own shirts. He probably does. They're very well fitted.
They look very nice shirts. Frank is a well-dressed man.
I will say.
He's very well-kept.
I ain't mad at it.
No.
But
then that leaves us with fucking Sarah and Lori. They get on my nerves. And this is the most ridiculous thing. Only in
Florida.
You're
going to be talking most of the time, because I honestly...
Okay, I'll just knock this out really quick.
I don't even like dogs, guys. I'm sorry. If I get canceled, then just listen to Catherine.
I tolerate dogs. Only in Florida is there a wiener fest. So Sarah and Lori have two dogs that live with Lori. Their names are Ollie and Frida.
Ollie is fat.
Yeah.
Okay, at first...
As Miguel calls him, a fat fuck.
A fat fuck. And I was like, damn, that's harsh. And then I saw Ollie and I was like, Ollie's a fat fuck.
I'm surprised he can walk. But basically, Wienerfest is a bunch of fucking dachshunds and they're weird owners. The dachshunds are in costumes.
There's, like, really
There's themed races and events.
Peanut butter licking and all kinds of things.
We're gonna get there. Laurie and Sarah have an insane amount of wiener memorabilia in the house. Sarah literally talks about being jealous of these wiener dogs because she considers them as her siblings. And, like, Laurie has to obviously take care of them. And I'm just like, girl, this is dumb. It's so dumb. I feel like they're both, like, infantilizing each other.
Sarah's continuously talking to her mom like she's a child.
Making her stop and drink water in the middle of the event, which we're going to get to some other shit, too. But Sarah is, like, force-feeding Lori water as they go. This peanut butter competition that they're excited about is so fucking gross. White people... I'm going to just call us out. What is this? Because they literally have a spoon, a plastic spoon dipped in peanut butter, and the people are holding the handle of the spoon in their mouth.
I skipped over this, by the way, because I did not want to watch this.
This is the whitest thing I've seen. And they were holding the end of the fucking spoon in their mouth, the handle end, and leaning down and letting their dog, like, less than 6 inches from their face, lick the peanut butter off the spoon. I thought
they were going to just hold it.
No. They were holding it with their mouths.
Why?
Exactly.
What was the reason?
I don't... There was... Girl, you just made the dog walk downstairs. Yeah, they're just like...
They want to know what the reason was, too.
Yeah, so...
Why? I'm sorry.
I'm puking. Their dog, Frida, takes third place. Next is time for the wiener race. It's stupid. They take the fucking sweaters off the dogs. It's their dog, Ollie, finished last.
Of course.
Literally finished last. He was going the wrong way. And then Lori... Lori, of course, starts to get lightheaded. So, also, TLC, I have to Lori's call you on your shit. Ass. I have to call you on your shit, TLC, because you soundbite edited in some bullshit that never even got said. They soundbite edited in Sarah saying... Somebody call a medic or something. And it doesn't even get that serious. No. Lori sits down in the shade. She's doing all right. And we're back on the topic of Miguel proposing. So
they're so exhausted.
Lori agrees not to pressure Miguel so much. And they kind of have a little bit of a cute moment. It's like, I want to like them. Kind of. Like, they're kind of cute in their own capacity. But they get on my fucking nerves. So then in episode 8. Yeah.
We open up with Miguel and Sarah. And they're in... Well, she's... Miguel's in bed doing some work.
Sarah's in these, like... Fashion Nova designer.
This
bitch
looks
she's
about
pajamas.
To go out to the club. And
thank
this,
you.
She looks like she's in a romper. So yes. Sarah asks Miguel how his day was, and then he tells her, and she doesn't even respond.
She just like immediately starts talking about her mom. She's like, I haven't heard from her in a couple of hours.
There's like a lull of silence, and he's like, okay, I guess I'm just gonna fuck off over here.
Yes.
And she's just like, she's blowing her mom.
She's texting. She's calling. She's calling the house phone. It's at least 2019. Who has a house phone?
Old people.
You're right. But
people that work from home.
Sarah legit. Like, Miguel's trying to calm her down. He's like, dude, she's got her own life.
And
like,
she has anxiety about it.
Yeah.
Like,
he's saying that this happens like once a month where Lori
I believe that
stops
happens
answering,
more.
Probably once a week. Lori's not answering her phone. So Sarah immediately hops in the fucking car.
She drives from fucking Point St. Lucie to...
That's where she's driving.
Oh.
To.
From wherever. But anyways, it's like an hour and 30 minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
Like...
Once she gets there, she's, like, frantically running in the door. She's not, like, she was driving. She's, like, white-knuckling. I'm sure she was driving like a maniac. She's putting herself in more
danger
in this moment. She gets there. She goes in the back door. And Lori is sleeping like a little angel
on
the
couch. Fucking couch with her fucking wiener dogs.
And Sarah is, like, on 1,000.
Yeah.
She's yelling at her. She needs a Xanax script. Half this cast needs a Xanax.
Honestly. And I'm just, like, if you're that worried about her, Sarah, just get her a fucking caregiver.
Get her a
Find somebody that lives closer across the street that you can call. Well, hopefully not, because they're probably going to block you after a while.
We see both of these solutions in the next episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to see some bullshit. But, just like Sarah, like, get someone to live with her. Like, if you're concerned, if you're both concerned about her health, have a nurse that, you know, can come out and visit her, you know, every other day or, like, once a week or whatever. Set her pills up. Set her water up. Make sure she's doing what she needs to.
Get her
a goddamn life alert.
And a reusable bottle.
Yeah. I'm like, the next fucking thing she's gonna do is stick a tracking device up her ass that actually, you know, monitors her blood pressure as well.
Yeah.
So, and administers her insulin. But I just... They're so funny.
They get on my nerves. I just don't
She's just spending the night, too. And I'm like, Miguel is probably just like, I'm so happy I don't have to deal. And they even mentioned that, like, Miguel likes his alone time. And I'm like, yeah, because you guys are insufferable. Constantly pressuring him to marry you, which is not going to happen.
Lori
if
is
you don't
pushing
chill
the
out.
Marriage on Miguel, like Sarah is pushing the water on Lori.
But Cher, but not Cher. but Sarah, like, she also doesn't stop her mom from pressuring him, and she doesn't say anything.
I mean, no, she does say.
Well,
something.
She
at the end of the episode with the dogs, but yeah, because she says that I think that you're making it to a point where Miguel is going to double down and wait even longer because you're making him uncomfortable.
He told you that he's not okay with y'all pressuring him, and he's just like, it probably would happen sooner than later if you guys just shut the fuck up and stop trying to pressure me. I'm planning things out, and I'm like, you can't pressure a guy to commit to you, especially letting your mom talk to them the way that she does.
Especially using the fact that your mom has a medical condition and could be dying as the crux for you.
And then on top
pressure.
Of that, like, you can't even give him your undivided attention. Your mom comes before you, then it comes you, and then the fucking dogs, and then maybe Miguel.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't even get your full attention. I can't even get you to sleep in our bed at night without worrying about your mom because she's not answering the fucking phone. And you want to drive an hour away and spend the night with her. Where are my cuddles?
Yeah.
Where is my time? When can we actually, you know, fornicate with each other or have fun?
Yes.
If you're all the way, always at your mom's house. And that's the thing, like, she hangs out at her mom's house every single day, just about. So I'm like, bitch,
this gaslight. And they have an hour and some change apart.
So. Yeah. And that's not even, like, including all the traffic. And this is on the coast of Florida, like, the East Coast.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's just too much. And her mom is, like, annoyed by her daughter, you know, being so
she feels guilty smothering. And she also, yeah, it's like the opposite effect. Like, we normally see the moms are too overbearing, but yeah. Sarah is the overbearing.
But they also have, like, a really close relationship too. And I mean, I can only imagine if she had siblings. I'm pretty sure they feel like they're, like, the redheaded stepchild.
Basically.
But
yeah, I don't know what my predictions are.
I feel like, is that racist to say redheaded stepchild? Or, like,
white people can't experience bad? Racism, so I don't think it's terrible.
Is it, like, but what if it's, like, a slur?
Don't cancel us. If it is, just tell us and we will learn. We are progressive people with open minds. But
I'm joking.
I am. But, yeah, I don't really know what my predictions are. I feel like Miguel, I honestly, if I was Miguel, I would dump the fuck out of Sarah. Honestly. I'm sorry. He could do better. Or maybe he couldn't. I mean, he's not, like, a great prize. Like, he's no catch, but
I like the fact that he's, like, very, like,
he's like, you're not very stern and make me marry your daughter.
I like the fact that he's not bending. I mean, but at the same time, like, the circumstances, if I was in Miguel's shoes, I wouldn't propose to this bitch either.
No. And she's also, like, perpetually 6 years old, so.
Yeah. She's always talking to her mom like she's five, and I hate that. I hate it so much. Her mom hates it. Everyone hates it. Miguel's just like, I need for you to just sit down. And I think that Sarah needs to go to therapy in order
she
to.
She does. She's literally stuck in the moment when her mom passed out, like, 20 years ago.
Yeah, and I think
she
that
never
will
progressed
help.
Past that.
I think that will definitely help her not be dashing off in the middle of the night to her mom's house.
She's endangering her own self at this point, and she's putting a rift between her and her soon-to-be fiancé if she figures it the fuck out. But,
that's that for them.
That's episode 7 and 8, and that's it. We cover all of our bitches because Marsha and Elena aren't in either episode. And, yeah, that's it. We only have 2 episodes left of this season that we know about.
I really hope they do a tell-all, honestly.
Honestly, I feel like that would be so enjoyable. But, yeah.
I wonder what the other moms would have to say about, like, the other relationships.
Could you imagine Angelica and Soon-hee's commentary on everybody else?
You know Soon-hee would just ruin everybody.
She would just be all about it.
Cher and Dawn would just be smiling.
I think that they would be, like, yeah, very, like, oh, well, whatever works.
Honestly, I think Soon-hee and, like, Kathy would probably get into it. And Christina and Kathy would get into it. Because, like, they're all the most, like, opinionated ones.
Yeah.
The most abrasive, I would say.
Yeah. I feel like Mary and Brittany would get a lot of heat, too, but they wouldn't respond to it well, so.
Yeah, I think that they would just be like, you guys are obnoxious for thinking that he was actually cheating. But, honestly, to each his own, if there was a conversation prior, then, like, I think that, yeah, she should be upset. But, like, honestly, really, like, this is not that bad.
No.
It honestly could be so much worse. But who am I to say that? That's a relationship. But I'm like, just let him go or take him back. Make up your mind. You shouldn't have let Brittany know your information because now she's using it against him and you want them to get along with each other now.
It's never going to work.
And also on top of that, you act like you fucking hate him.
Yes. And now you want
I
him to take care
of you. I hate your stinking guts. You are the scum between my toes. Love, Frank.
Oh, but yeah, so you guys seem to really have enjoyed Smothered. Like we said, there's only one episode remaining, episodes 9 and 10.
We can't smother you with Smothered anymore.
Yeah, but we're going to hit you with some 90 Day Fiancé the other way and regular 90 Day Fiancé and whatever else you suggest to us.
And we'll just cry the whole way through.
We hate it, but we love it. We do it for you. At least I watched the dogs licking the peanut butter for you. That's how you know that I love
it. I fast forwarded because I was like, I'm tired of this shit. I don't even like dogs.
Exactly. But yes.
But I'm excited to wrap Smothered up because I love 90 Day Fiancé.
I do too.
But yeah, I think that the finale of this show will hopefully be better than the janky ass finale of season 1.
Yeah, it just ended abruptly.
Yeah. I think they didn't give them enough time to, like, let social media sink into it because they filmed back to back most of the time.
Yeah, I didn't hear about this till season 2 aired. I didn't know about the show until season 2 premiered. But yeah. Bye.
Yeah.